everybody. It is episode 2 of Scrotus POTUS. I'm your host, Wade Macklin. What an exciting show we have today. We've got Canadian comedian Craig Campbell, very outgoing, fiery guy, and we've also got American comic Eric McElroy on as well. We're going to talk about the State of the Union, everything that's going on with America and the world, and how that affects the rest of the world, including the UK. This is going to be one kick-ass podcast. Enjoy. Lots of laughter, lots of joy, lots of fun things. This is Scrotus POTUS. It is episode 2. It is expats talking about North American politics. Joining me, two very funny gentlemen, one from America, one from Canada. Eric McElroy.
Hello.
From America.
Nice to be here.
Where are you from in America, Eric?
I'm from Seattle.
Seattle, Washington.
Which is nearly Canada.
It's nearly Canada. I mean, but it's got a little too much attitude, coffee, and weed, and it's legal, and we don't have that yet.
But dead Bruce Lee.
Dead Bruce Lee. And of course, Craig Campbell. Craig Campbell is from Alberta.
Hola.
Hey, how you doing?
So Hollywood North.
Before I introduce you officially, so because we talk a lot about Trump, this is Scrotus POTUS. We're going to talk about Trump and what's going on in American politics. Yeah. And what we do is we generate your name into a Trump tweet generator so Trump can actually say about you. So Eric McElroy. Losers such as Eric McElroy use me for publicity for themselves. They're strictly third rate.
Sounds about right.
Craig Campbell.
Yeah.
Do you believe highly overrated Craig Campbell? What a joke. And I did one for myself, just to get in. Wade McElwain looks exhausted and beaten. He has never made or prepared for the job. Like it or not, he doesn't have it. My ex says that all the time.
144?
Yeah. You fit it all in.
On the nose.
So I'm going to start off. Obviously, a lot of things are happening in global politics. We only have to go into Facebook and figure out all the world's problems have been solved. Like, everything has been solved by everyone's social media opinions. But let's talk about, so far, State of the Union, Trump, America, the world. How has he done, and how do we think things have happened? Eric, you're the American. Let's start with you.
He is doing great. He has done what he promised he would do. He's pulled us out of the Paris Accord. He has got his Supreme Court nominee, and I only get my news from the Drudge Report, Fox News, and Breitbart. And everything is going exactly to plan.
Good stuff.
And there's this witch hunt going on, and I don't believe any of that because, you know, Trump's been exonerated last week by Comey because Comey said that when Comey was in the FBI, Trump was not under investigation. And we didn't hear the part because it wasn't told to us about the fact that Russia did try and influence the election, and that's been now documented. But that, because I didn't hear that, all I heard is Trump's exonerated at that time, so everything's fine. Everything's great, and it's
done. Who's documented? Which thread of information are you attaching the documentation of the Russian conspiracy to?
There's no need to worry about these kind of documents. I've been following. Donald Trump has told me, and Donald Trump Jr.
Right.
Has told me, and Ivanka Trump. So these are trusted sources.
Yeah. You're right in the right wing, Craig.
Yes,
you're Canadian. Yeah. You know, you're a vocal. A guy about things. What do you think of what's going on in American politics?
I think that there's a global politic that's going on. I don't agree with it, but I feel like I see what Trump has done in terms of undermining opposition.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been like, you know, a big sort of call out of the fake news moniker. But then, of course, that, as was so brilliantly just put together, that allows you to just write your own narrative and write off everything as fake news. And of course, when you think of the actual, you know, the sense of reality that is held, not that they're not specifically like targeting for their own benefit, but when they do those studies of like, you know, how little people actually know. Add like subterfuge and propaganda and lies and fake news to it, and like it's Tower of Babel stuff.
Social media is going on. It's the first age we've had in sort of politics where social media has had such an influence in terms of not only a president using a corporation as his spokespiece,
perfect,
yeah,
but also that other people then weighing in. Now, we talked about it last week that, you know, FDR used his fireside chats, and that was his actual way of reaching people, and some people equate Trump with doing that. But do we actually see that maybe social media creates such a hyperbole in that there is a lot of fake news? I mean, the Trump tweet from only just today, fake news at an all-time high. Where's their apology for all the incorrect stories?
Yeah, We wrap ourselves in a validation because we like to hear things. You know, we hang out with people that generally agree with us and live in neighborhoods where people are generally like us. And so this is just magnified in social media to a level that is just insane. Yeah. And, you know, I do try and follow other people that are outside of my interest group. And I see, so that's how I see what's happening on Drudge Report and everything else. Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's hard sometimes, like especially when the terrorist attacks happened and the anti-Muslim stuff. I mean, it's just, it's hard to read and you can't, you can't reply because it's just a downward
spiral. But what
about
anti-religion? Because I'm quite anti-religion. Yeah. I don't really like religions at all. I don't care what kind of funny hat you got, and I don't care what day you wear it on, and I don't care when you eat fish. I don't want it imposed on my kids. I don't want it in my public school system. So I'm not going to mince about who I don't like. It's frustrating when I'm not allowed to give opinion on that which I don't like.
Yes. Do you feel that you're not allowed to give opinion these days? You feel even as a comedian or as someone who's talking, you don't feel that opinion is.
No, I feel like you're railing more than you ever would have. But I don't feel like you're prevented from doing so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you talked earlier, you sort of touched, and you said there may be more of a global thing. Do you think that the Trump is a smaller piece of a bigger global?
Absolutely. And I think, first of all, the main thing that Facebook is a ledger and a log for, finding out exactly what's on everybody's mind. And
An Excel spreadsheet for the government.
Of course. Of course. And, and it's given voluntarily, and we all, enjoy doing it. So, I don't mind that aspect of it. But as far as, it seems to me it's a ubiquitous thing across the world. The poor are getting poorer. The rich are getting richer. Nobody's really helping each other out. And
it's all going.
And the big, the elephant in the room is the fact that we are behind jihadi terror in other people's countries, and we're open in funding that, and we're completely compromised morally, and we set ourselves around the world enforcing morality on other people, and other countries realize that, and people who are totally neutral to that realize that. It's just it's not a place spiritually that you want to be if you're murdering with proxy armies and you're talking about going in for humanitarian purposes. So it's a real, we're in that place in the world. And I don't know if that's global, but I know that Canada's on board, and I know the UK is on board, and I know that nobody's arguing with Trump. And I know that in the lead up to this recent election, nobody is talking about that as a policy, whether it's Corbyn or whether it's May or whether it's the debacle that they have. So to me, it's kind of global. It feels
global. So it's more of a 1%. Kind of an issue, do you think? Is that what you're sort of...
I think there's a 1% influence there. Yeah. How can the press so boldly lie? Why are they allowed to?
Eric, you're a Trump supporter, obviously, as you said earlier. Trump number one.
I voted for him for pension reasons only. So, I mean, I bet on him
as soon as he announced his candidacy.
And have you donated that money to refugee?
I donated it to my daughter's fund, yeah.
Nice.
So what do you, the State of the Union, let's take a look at some of the things he did. He fired the director of the FBI.
Yeah.
He intimidated the guy after firing.
Yep.
He encouraged the U.S. intelligence to undermine the Russia probe.
Yeah.
He's got rid of the Paris climate. He gave Israeli intelligence to Russia.
In a chat.
He went to Saudi Arabia. A couple days later, they put sanctions on Qatar.
High fives all around. Yeah.
And he praises Duterte for killing of drug users.
Oh, nice touch.
There was also a budget thing where they made a math error of $2 trillion, which is, realistic.
Yeah, they've lost more.
You forgot to carry the four zeros. And he's allowed the Justice Department to prosecute. I don't know if this Desiree Ferrose, I don't know if you saw about her. She laughed at a Sessions about his saying about black rights, and now she's being charged with disorderly conduct.
Okay,
because she laughed in public.
Right, nice.
That's disorderly conduct. And then Michael Flynn apparently was a paid agent of the Turkish. So, I mean, is he doing okay?
The thing is, he's disrupting the system, which is what some of his supporters wanted. So he's not. A lot of people are like, how can he not be impeached so far? Because he's not failing the people that he promised to disrupt, even though they don't realize that he's not working on their behalf. I don't think.
Yeah. Another reason, though, do you think? Did you see Dershowitz last night or the night before? And I think also Neapolitano.
Right.
The judge just talking about those very issues and ultimately he's also, you forget, it's America, he's the president, right? He's supposed to be using those things in his toolbox to better America in the world. And
but the first year of every presidency is a shit show. I mean, you're going everything. Against everything, you're fighting against everything, the other system and everything had been against,
I'll
and
use everyone's, a shovel.
And everyone's going against him. And look, here's a guy who came in, he has no political experience. He has no experience in the military, which, as a president, he's the first guy who's a business leader who's come in And he's like, I'm going to drain the swamp. You've got 600,000 people that work in the bureaucracy in Washington, and he's targeting all of them.
I mean, he's made no real effort to drain the swamp. That's what's amazing about
all the
people.
He's replaced the swamp.
He's just replaced
some people. He fired 46 attorney generals.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's draining a friggin' swamp, man. And two of them have now decided to sue his company as a result of it.
Yeah, but none of he hasn't replaced any of them because he's not interested in prosecutors, because he's never been really keen on prosecutors because he's usually on the other end of the prosecution.
Well, the prosecutors, the reason of getting rid of the attorney generals is, especially in New York, is that you get favorable passing of legislation in those states, though.
Yes. But as far as I know, he's not replaced them, which is what's extraordinary. It's not they all fire them. Is normal.
Yeah.
But it's not normal quite apparently the way this firing happened where what's his name? Preep. Is it Preep?
Yeah.
Preep. He was refusing Trump's phone calls because Trump was trying to talk to him, which normally
because
he's using
candidate.
That business tactic where you reach out, touch his how you doing?
Well, he was
nice
candidate.
Okay, that's what you
got to do. Preet's also a media whore who's been in like New Yorker and all these kind of things, and he's the guy I'm taking down Wall Street.
Yeah,
which he was supposed to for Obama, and Obama didn't even touch Wall Street.
But why would we still believe them? Right, like you did just say, like they all do it.
Right.
You know, why do we still have faith? This is my issue. Like, why is there a sense that, like, democracy is going to change anything? Because I also believe, because, like, you know, long before Hicks ever said it out loud, everybody knew it was the case, that somebody tugs whoever it is into a room at some point very early on and just says, like, you're living. You want to keep living? Just keep listening. Comey and Trump, they don't want to kill each other. They live in a world where people get killed. For their, like, you know, they meet each other and they're just like, I don't want to die. All right, try the cheesecake, right? Like, why get into an argument with people who are that dangerous? That's the other thing about America that you have to consider, that, like, you know, you've got alphabet agencies at odds with each other, right? Like, a lot of really tooled up guys with guns who are really decent at hiding in the dark and shooting with both hands that are in argument. And that's, you know, where it's a bit tense. And
I still have a little bit more faith in just, well, human where? Beings, both in being...
In nuclear
both
weapons?
In, yeah, both in being too inept to make the case. And there's genuinely, I think, good people who do try and make a difference, who get into these things. And the
Thank
people
goodness.
That I've met that work in government.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some genuinely good people that are trying. So I think that, I just don't think, it doesn't go quite that far. There's an element of that, but that's not enough to destroy the system.
You don't think that the FBI was set up to protect your upper class, your establishment class from the people below them?
Elements of it are. Yeah. But I mean, I just
it's hard to have that working for your
but,
people.
But I mean, also
ever,
Trump,
right?
Trump has also turned those agencies against, because when he went against the FBI, he turned to the CIA and he turned basically, you know, all the other sort of national security was like, let's investigate everything. And that's part of draining the swamp, turning all the rats against each other, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
but I guess the trick is, and this is what the Republicans have done so successfully, is they flipped the narrative where government is always evil. And at some point, we need some structure of organization, and then we have to put some faith in that, and then we have to try and hold it accountable. But at what point do we lose all faith in it, or do we hold some faith?
Yeah.
And that's
Can
the
I
struggle.
Provide some levity?
Please do.
I know.
Yeah,
what
come
are you talking
up,
please.
One of, my, one of my favorite people in Canada, in the great country that Wade and I come from, confided in me at one point in something that I really like adhere to, that you know, you might not like the Americans, but they're the best of the worst. Right, like, you know, because we're in Britain right now, and you know, you want to sidetrack into like the evil that exists where we are right now, you know. So I agree, and I understand the dilemma of America working and you know, working with itself as diplomatically as it can to like get, you know, salvation.
I still, in my core, even though I know it's a falsity, the American dream is so ingrained in us.
Yeah.
It is impossible not to give that optimism up.
I think
it's still there. After living in Britain for 17 years and knowing life is shit and believing that as my British self as well, because, you know, of course, you live in Britain for too long, you realize how terrible everything is and you embrace that and love it. But then I've got the American side of me going, but it still will be amazing and maybe it will be great again.
Which, I mean, look, if you look at the way Trump is talking, and we saw, I don't know if you saw the cabinet meeting that he broadcast, and it's like, basically, it's like you figured there are people sitting on something that had like something up their ass. It's like, yes, Trump is great. I love it. I'm doing a good job. He's doing a great job. We're all good.
Yeah.
But he is. Jobs are up. The economy is doing very well. We haven't had a financial crash in 8 years, even though it's supposed to happen every 4 years. So this next one is going to be a doozy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be big.
Yeah.
But you wonder if, you know, the economy is doing well because of his blaggering, his bolstering, his this...
This is riding a momentum of a wave that was building already. This is not. You cannot make that much change in whatever it's been. He hasn't even had a full. Today is the first day he had a cabinet, and we're what 200 days into his administration.
Let's talk progress. 2017. Trump mentioned yesterday. Congratulations, new first coal mine of the era opens in Pennsylvania. We're back in coal. I mean, come on, Eric. That is progress.
American jobs.
I think it was, I listened to NPR, fake news, and they said that was to do with a downturn in coal mining in Australia, and this had already been planned before Trump was elected. So he's taken it now.
I thought Trump canceled NPR. Is NPR not canceled by Trump?
It should be.
Big Bird and the rest of the gang were all
fake news.
And nobody's talking about the guys in the ground and what their, you know, what their plight is.
Yeah, there's 80 of them that are going to start working at this mine. 80 people.
Well, I'm sure a lot of families in Pennsylvania is like, oh, grandpa's back to the coal mine again, you know.
Right.
He was working at Starbucks and he was doing happy. But,
imagine.
Back to the black lung. But, I mean, there's something to be said for him. There has been prosperity. In America, you're talking about the American dream.
Yeah.
And there is America, I think, like any other country on earth, confidence really fuels the economy. There is something to be said for I can do it.
Yes, and the Great Recession punched a hole in that, and that's why we found this. Both the Bernie Revolution, I think, and the Trump Revolution had the same. Was the first time the middle class felt pinched, and they suddenly realized they couldn't get the 46-inch TV, and they had to suffer for the 42-inch TV because that's the level of poverty most of these people are at. Most of these people are doing better than what percentage of the world, as far as real poverty and the poverty that's in most of America.
Yeah, and their dreams and their goals can be enhanced by, you know, I don't know the last time you were there, but I was there at the end of, or beginning of February this year. And they have that deep base, like high civilization infrastructure.
Yeah.
Like
it was Infrastructure Week last week.
Wow, where you're like coming through the mountains and there's just like a crazy angle on the motorway, like a real, like, you know, an Autobahn type feel to it. And that's, you know, it's big. It's, you know, if you forget that about America, you come around a corner and it's just like you just see everything around you and it's like a fishbowl. Like, you know, the mountains are so far away and the trees so high. I come through California and Oregon where, like, they're bigger than Canadian trees. Yeah. That freaks you out, you know. Like when you realize you're in the shadow of a tree, it's just like you know, there, it's epic in that way. You know, people talk about it, but the Grand Canyon, like, it's like it's easy to be inspired in America, right?
Yeah.
It's just like
it's very inspiring.
Amazing.
And apparently, the Bears Ear Park, which apparently 1.3 million, I don't know if you know, 1.3 million acres, they want to get rid of that. Obama put it.
Which park?
Bears Ear Park.
Okay, where's that?
I believe it's in the Southwest, and apparently it's 1.3 million acres, and they're pushing so that Trump can, like, reduce it to as small as possible.
Didn't Bush first push into
Bush them? Bush pushed a lot of parks up, and it was Obama trying to legitimize it. But a lot of people, and I don't think Trump actually cares. I think it's a lot of people going, hey, we can maybe put a pipeline in there.
Yeah,
but, you know,
is this one of the parks where you can hunt the hibernating bears? Because that is one thing you can do in America now, which I tell British people.
Amazing. That's
you
get, the easiest
you
bear
can
to shoot.
You can shoot a hibernating bear, which I think if you're going to shoot a bear, that's the best one to shoot. And you can do it from a helicopter. Fox hunting? No way, pussies. This is
I
real.
I will not rest
this
until we can hunt bears at a circus. I want to show up at a circus and shoot their bear. He was bouncing on a ball. What's he doing there?
But yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing you would think.
I hate to tell you this, I admire that. It's so hideous. It's just so crazy, though. This it's another thing that just keeps you on your toes. You know, you're in America.
You want to buy a hat that says freedom on it when you do that.
Yeah, when you see a bear, you're like, look how cute, there could be a helicopter around here anywhere. We gotta get out of here.
All right, so speaking of the bear, let's go to the Russian bear. Do you guys believe that the Russians influenced the American election? Or they had some sort of hand in it?
I believe that they attempted to influence the election. I believe that they wanted to delegitimize Trump because they thought Hillary was going to win, because we all thought Hillary was going to win, including Trump. And so they wanted to bring him down as much as possible.
The Russians want to bring down Trump.
They wanted to ding Hillary by raising him. That's why there were so many connections. There has to be, because he wasn't hanging out with the ambassador to Sweden. No one does.
Yeah.
But did the Trump campaign collude with Russia? No, because I don't think they can collude to have good government. It's just not. So that level, but they're getting wrapped up in the cover-up, which is what happened with Monica Lewinsky. It's what happened with Nixon.
Yeah.
So they're doing stuff wrong. And they, you know, Sessions did perjure himself by saying he'd never talked to a Russian, and he had.
Yeah.
That's, I think that's accepted as non-fake-ish news.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think.
What about Flynn?
I mean, Flynn was definitely one of, if they were working on I don't know whether they were actually colluding to change the result of the election. That seems too far to me.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, you look at it. If you want to, it's the old expression is if you really want to find something, you just keep looking. You're going to find something. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Monica Lewinsky. That started as that Whitewater kind of thing. And you start in Whitewater, and next thing you know, it's like, jizz on a blue dress. You know, how do we get here?
Yeah. How many times has that happened to me?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you dig deep enough in me, there's going to be jizz on everything, you know? Title of my second book. But at the same time, you sort of go, okay, if we start looking at Trump here and going, Russia, are we just going to start investigating? And are you going to find something that you didn't want to find? But you go, did we really need to find that to begin with?
Which they think might be happening now.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And to start with, like, I am connected in Russia. Why would Trump not be? There are human beings on the earth. He's a business person. Yeah. Yeah, and, that might be an American thing, might be totally talking out of turn, and I just didn't, go to that, formed thinking class. Yeah. But, to me, it just makes sense that there would be, as far as the specifics are what was apparently said to Flynn. There's now eyewitnesses that are on scene to say that there was never ever a direct engagement with Putin and there was no conversation that took place. And so there's all kinds of specifics of that there's were Russians trying to hack in and change results? Of course, along with half of American kids in their basements doing have we in this room, have we met hackers?
Yeah.
Anybody that's met a hacker will just they do that. That's what they do. They can do it for fun.
They can do autistic it for fun. Kids doing something for fun.
They fall into a McDonald's. It has Wi-Fi. They stole a phone. It happens. You do it.
Yeah.
Online is vulnerable.
But even Bush and to even lesser extent Obama, how many of them had this level of just weirdness? I mean, it's just weird some of the things that have happened with the Russians and that they've tried to say, well, no, I didn't, and then they did, and then but that wasn't. This guy's making Bush look like the reasonable Republican normal president.
But, I mean, you're also look at it. We have to also sort of look at it. When he's come off, putting basically targets on everyone, the media, the swamp, everyone. Do you not think that the backlash is going to be the worst you've ever experienced in your first year of politics? Do you think that maybe more people are out to get him because of what he stood for and the way that he was an outsider, a business guy, coming in to tell them how to run Washington? Do you think that maybe they've just wanted to take him down?
Nothing seems to stop him yet.
Teflon Don.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the States for the first time a few weeks ago since the regime began, and and so I got picked. I knew I was going to be in New York. All our friends are left wing, so I figured I was barely going to meet a Trump supporter. Tax driver picks us up, takes us out to Long Island because that's where all my wife's family have gone to die. Oh, it's miserable. It's lovely. Yeah. Love you guys, but it's just purgatory. Anyway, it's very nice. And so we're in the taxi. We're driving out to Long Island. And this guy is a typical New York guy. And so I'm like, so, how are things? And he goes, healthcare is still a mess in this country. So I'm thinking, all right, sounds liberal, right? And then I said, so what do you think about Trump? Oh, he's a great guy. He talks like me. He understands me. And the other thing we got to do is we got to fix the image. No, it's Congress. They won't stop. It's all these guys. He's just a regular guy like me. You're driving a really shitty old Cadillac out to Long Island, and Trump is just like you.
Yeah.
So that illusion and that is still going on.
He bought the American dream.
Yeah.
But he was on The Apprentice. I mean, he ran The Apprentice, and everyone watched him.
Yeah.
And he was the guy. Yeah. He was like their de facto leader when everyone's watching, Obama in office, and you've got Trump going, you're fired, you're hired. Huh. Look, I brought in Ralph Lauren. He's here to help me do stuff. My kids, they're gorgeous. Yeah. You suck. You're a loser. You know? People are like, I like him.
Yeah. So, yes, they're all against him, but nothing seems to stick. So until he upsets his base, nothing's going to change.
But is it a distraction from real politics? And is it a distraction from democracy that we're just like this shit and pony show that they throw to all us, proles out there? It's like, here you go. Oh, we don't like this. It's basically watching all the puppets in control making us watch this shit show.
The trick that I think Trump missed and it would have made him really dangerous and it would have made him reelectable immediately is if he just pivoted a tiny bit to the left and said, you know what? I will bring people better health care and I will work with the Democrats and I will offer you a single payer option. Offer them a few things and they would have been paralyzed and the Republicans still would have been terrified to do anything against him.
But doesn't his base still vehemently fight for...
They think that's happening. That's the thing.
Right, okay.
Well, he
has
until September 30th to get all the health care plans in, as well as tax reform. Those are the deadlines he's got to get in.
But and, is it not the case, is it not an American attitude that you may have run into before, where like people feel like, to this point, I've had to mortgage my house or sell my house, and, you know, when grandpa died, and this is like, you know, it's America. You pay for what you need out of it.
But there's
right?
also
like,
that puritanical
thing. No free
thing.
Rides. I'm not paying taxes for that now. I lost my garage. You know, is that... Is
there's the Puritan thing, like you earn your way and you earn health care. It's not like it is, I think, in Canada and in here, where you have it as just a right, a
Where's
human
Justin?
Right.
Where's Justin? Come on, Justin. We need some booze over here.
Now, Canada's so just hot, nicely Justin. Controlled between the unions and the government, and no one has a fair shake.
It's, and I don't think Justin's doing good, but he's just so cute. And I just,
no, yeah, it's great. It's amazing that democracy can be valued on a haircut.
Absolutely.
Hey, you know, exactly.
You see Donald Trump.
Exactly.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, a lot of stuff is going on. We've got the sessions that are going on in this Russian probe.
Sessions.
The Comey, or as he likes to be whispering in his ear, Comey. it is. That's his thing. I've heard it. I read it.
I'm sorry.
And they had 19.5 million people watching Comey on CNN. Like, wow. And it was like this whole, like, it's like
theater.
The OJ chase for people. It's like, oh, what's going to happen here?
Yeah. How can they not have known? Did you, like, are you not at a point where you're just like, he can't, nothing can come out. Nothing is, like, you know, the comment on that I saw, I think it was Dershowitz talking about, is saying that, like, his senior Mueller is like, he can't have anything compromised either, right? Yeah. Imagine, like, it really took me into the headspace of, like, spies meeting each other, right? They can be cordial and they can be affable, but they can't, like, say anything, right? Like, for fear of compromising. So the idea that he was ever going to, like, blabbermouth about, you know, the president's misdeeds, is just, how is that not laughable yet?
Yeah.
How are people not just like utterly thinking it's just another channel of dog and pony ridiculousness, you said. And
so you
like
think they shouldn't have
ministers.
These kind of open sort of sessions because they're never...
it's a circus.
They're not going to be able to say anything
they're
anyway.
They're so prolonged. Yeah. There's got to be some sort of tenure on them that you sort of go, geez, how long are we going to do this for? You know, how long are you going to go after it? I mean, it's one of the things when they went after Nixon for the whole, you know, Watergate thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't about him breaking into the Watergate hotel. It was him covering it up.
Yeah.
So you get in this point where if you have these prolonged investigations...
Yeah.
You're basically wasting money. You're putting all these people into it. And that's why Trump's actually, you know, one of his friends said, this Robert Mueller, let's fire him.
Yeah.
Just get rid of him.
Yeah.
You know?
And none of them are bigger. Sorry again to interrupt, but none of them are bigger than your president.
Yeah.
That's a huge bit of, like, you know, presidential power and empowered by those people, whether you like them or not. It's terrifying. Because he's actually able to do stuff in a way we're just used to bog down, you know, prime ministers that take 16-week holidays and don't call back and just like, we're
choke
back.
A guy.
Yeah, just totally. And look at the UK now. It's an even crazier dog and pony show what's happening right
this is why Trump is making America great. He promised that he would create jobs, and he has created jobs in the special counsel's office.
Yeah.
And hundreds and hundreds of prosecutors have more work to do now. So that's why the employment is low.
And soon to be morticians, because you know yourself, an ascending America. It's a terrifying thing. It's, you know, the whole showdown with what happened in North Korea. That's, you know, that's the other thing. People are perturbed with America brinkmanshipping our lives, too.
Yeah,
that's and when you see Americans, as we all have now on TV, for and I'm talking going back 15 years, where you just watch like 5-star generals, 4-star, whatever the hell they are, talking about their tool belt, talking about nuclear weapons that they're allowed to, like, as is now in Afghanistan and the Middle East, that your commanders, your field commanders, are already authorized to use these things. They don't need Trump to call them. Yeah. So that pisses off the whole world. America is just all over the place, pissing in everybody's patch and really putting a lot of pressure on people. And now they got a maniac in charge that has unlimited power. And it's just like, of course we're tired of it. It's
but
ridiculous.
North Korea is not a problem anymore because Dennis Rodman is landing there as we speak.
He's going there right now.
And the funny thing is, so you know Rodman was on The Apprentice, right?
Yes.
He was on The Apprentice and he melted down. He had like meltdowns. You should Google it. He had like meltdowns like... And I don't think he's very stable, but obviously he wouldn't have gone to North Korea
you
without
think
Trump's approval.
Very stable?
No.
Like,
I
go on the record.
Yeah. I would not have a child with him. But he wouldn't have got to North Korea without, because he keeps in touch with Trump.
Yeah.
Anyone who's on The Apprentice is still friends with him. Like, Piers Morgan is still one of the few people that Trump follows.
Rodman.
So is Rodman, it's like, look, we got a messed up fuckhead in North Korea.
Senate Dennis Rodman. Hey, Shabakadoo. Hey, what's going on, guys? Where are the women at?
Is that how he talks?
Want to see some rings?
Shabak. What?
I don't know.
Wow.
This is a guy
it's
who.
A song.
This
I think.
Is a guy that just after the NBA, he came out dressed as a woman. Remember that when he
yeah,
was like,
right. Of course.
Because he was dating Madonna, and then Carmen Electra. It's like, I'm going to dress as a woman.
What a dude, though, right?
Cocaine's like, a hell of a drug.
As far as being a rebel goes.
Yeah.
You got to give it to Rodman, right? Like, you've seen probably the, what's the little exchange that he had with the Canadian comedian in...
was that, it was John Hastings.
Yeah, Hastings.
Yeah, that's right.
Wasn't that a beautiful exchange?
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Like, I'm not
Google that. John Hastings, YouTube, very funny Canadian comedian with Dennis Rodman at the Comedy Store in L.A.
Yeah, because Dennis was
And they animated it. Yeah, he's hammered and talking. He brought him on stage.
I thought it was the Laugh Factory.
Or it could have been Laugh Factory.
I think it was,
Laugh Factory. Okay,
but regardless, we all agree it was like a seminal piece of interaction of the audience,
genius.
Like, you know, just genius.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And but can we also agree, wasn't Rodman wonderful? Wasn't he like
Johnny's a good guy. He handled it amazingly.
Amazing.
Yeah. And his knowledge
so
of wrestling.
Rodman handled a public meltdown. In the front row of a comedy club with all of that grandeur of what he is.
Well, he was hammered.
He blubbered.
He was with a bunch of women, you know, riding off the fame that is, 20 years old.
I already said it. He's a dude. Well, imagine being that guy for one night. You'd have a heart attack.
But I think John handled it well because a lot of comics, you know, you're dealing with some people just love to slay someone.
Yeah.
And John, who loves wrestling and loves, like, brought him into it, had enough knowledge. When you do that, you know, as a comedian, you give respect. You know, it's like, I respect you for this, and it comes back and respect. Mm-hmm. We talk about sort of comedy and Trump, because Trump is the only president to have ever hosted SNL. And if we look at, there's presidential candidates that have gone in.
Oh, yeah. Hillary's been on there.
Hillary's
She's
been on, but
hilarious.
Not as a host. Not as a host. Ralph Nader, host. You've had other people. What's his name? Steve Forbes.
Oh, God, Steve Forbes.
But look, let's start with this Kathy Griffin thing, because, Kathy Griffin, you guys saw her with the... And she's trying to hide behind the shield of comedy.
I don't know. I've seen the image. I haven't seen... What was the context of her doing the image? Was there a setup to that? Was there any context at all shocking?
The other thing is, quite horribly, is that also doesn't matter. You also don't matter. Comedically, unfortunately, and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I didn't like the sort of popping on a popularity contest element of it, you know, to being outrageous. Yeah. But when Carrey said, and you got to give it to Jim Carrey sometimes, like when he just, you know, said that's what, you know, you're to do. You're to be, it's not real.
Yeah.
It's not real. You're a comedian and you did it? Okay, well, then it's not a real thing. Like, calm down, everybody. And I guess, you know, they get...
He also gave her a few pills and said, you can't get these in Ireland.
Yeah. And I'll see you in court.
So, I mean, whether it was...
But can you yell fire in a crowded theater is the argument.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, where does it end?
Yeah. Well, and it's also, is it about sort of grandstanding on her own platform? Because, you know, Kathy Griffin, she hosts... Whatever she was, I've watched her on that New Year's Eve for CNN.
Yeah,
I just say I've never watched her. Are these cameras rolling? I've never watched her.
I tuned in and basically watching it. I would have rather seen Dick Clark's cancerous testicle host it than her. That's how bad.
Is that going to make the final edit?
Of course, it's going to make the final edit. I think, but. Yeah. She was, I mean, she's one of those grandstanders. She's one of those people that loves to get attention.
Yeah.
And so this was,
like
to me.
Like us?
Yeah.
I know, but
I don't understand that at all.
It's worse than I thought.
to hoist up this fake skin, bloody thing.
I think you can do almost anything if it's funny. And I didn't understand why that was going to be funny because I didn't, it's just, it's not.
Do you think her crying afterwards is funny, though? Come on. That was pretty good. Just the full breakdown.
You know, I mean.
Why would you take that on? Right? Why would you, like, that's what I would see.
Well, because I think the other thing I took away from being, because I was in very left-wing America. I went to Brown University where her niece was graduating. Brown's quite good, so just so you know. Not me, but my niece.
Thanks for the count.
And it was blue blood, and it was very liberal. Robert De Niro spoke.
Wild.
I mean, it's about as left-wing as you can get, right? And they are still in shock. They are, the left is just, like, gobsmacked, dazed, confused. They do not understand, partly because they're in their own little bubble. They don't talk to anybody who didn't. I mean, I have friends who go, they're like, I have never spoken to anyone who supports this man. And, you know, and so she's in that world and is so embracing of that has forgotten that there is The man is still the president.
Well, that's
and you know, and one of the few things of free speech that is barred in the U.S. because we do have unlimited free speech, which you don't have in the U.K.
Yeah.
I don't think you do in Canada.
No,
you have hate speech laws. So America, we genuinely, which I think is one of the good things about the States.
Absolutely.
But you can't go around saying I'm gonna, you know, do certain things to certain people, and that person is genuinely the president.
But is it the certain people thing, or is it just the thing? Because could she do it, you know, with Wade's head?
Yes, of course, of course, with Wade's head.
Okay, well, Wade
would
give
his own. If it got him the publicity, he would do it with his own head.
Sure.
So yeah, it's just that person.
Shouldn't he also, though, and put on his shoulders that he has all the power in that? He doesn't have to, like, you know, she should feel if she's,
no,
like, having a breakdown the
a
next
saint
day,
in the
thinking, like, I'm going to get killed because of all the pressure I'm taking.
Yeah.
She's feeling that from, like, individuals. She's got, like, you know, ranchers in Wyoming are giving her a lot of that, right? So, you know, he has all the decorum or the position of to be able to, like, really let her off the hook, like, really quite quickly and just say, like, you know, this isn't in good taste. And
yeah, but that's not
I don't.
I mean, but now he's got Ivanka Trump going on TV saying how put upon she's been and how she can't believe how caustic the political climate is now.
Oh,
like, have you ever followed, followed your father on Twitter?
Why did you think you would have Secret Service everywhere you are?
Exactly.
I mean, she's entered the fray of everything, but it comes down to it too with Kathy Griffin and sort of doing this whole demonstrative thing.
Yeah.
You know, is it about her or is it about him? You know,
and is comedy about one joke?
Yeah. I mean, Alec Baldwin. So Alec Baldwin, I mean, obviously doing him on SNL and does a good job of it, and Trump doesn't like it. Trump went from loving SNL to hating it.
Yeah.
But he's consistently trying to do something funny as opposed to doing something dramatic and, like, look at this, you know, is, you know, where's that sort of funny line and how, you know, because Trump avoided that White House press correspondents' dinner.
Yeah.
You know, the sense of humor that the presidents need to have and the sense of humor that we need to have in politics.
Yeah, I think you don't want to be. Yeah, you need to keep the right balance in that, because if you do too many jokes that are anti-Trump, you become just didactic and boring.
Mm-hmm.
So it's finding that line and that. Probably cross that line.
Yeah, it's funny. He doesn't want to play to crowds that don't like him. And
no.
Unfortunately, it's also way down the list of things he's authorized to do as the president.
Mm-hmm. He used to have a sense of humor. I mean, when he would go on Howard Stern,
yeah.
I mean, he had to know that he was the butt of those jokes on Howard Stern, unless he just is completely
even
deranged.
Letterman, yeah.
Letterman.
When he was on Inside Edition, where he's like, oh, grab him by the pussy. I mean, come on, that's hilarious, right?
But at that point, he hadn't been pulled into the closet, right? Like,
yeah.
Before that, he hadn't been like, now he's the president. Now he knows the score. Right?
But I think there's...
You work for America, you do what we say, and if you step out of line, you're very dead.
But
in
I
really
think
quick ways.
They're all narcissists and crazy, these people that want to be president of the United States or any of these kind of roles.
Assassins,
but I think
murderers.
He is is at the next level.
They start work.
I think he's at the next level where he just has that no ability. I think I also think he genuinely believes a lot of what he's saying in the moment that he says it.
Absolutely.
And that's
like a good actor.
You know,
he's a 70-year-old man. I mean, he's gonna say crotchy stuff, and that's what's entertaining sometimes.
Yeah.
But I don't like this. You're like, oh, old man, you're hilarious.
And don't you know all of the, like, you know, well looked into and a lot of people coming at different angles to try and find his senility, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's every reason why he should. His father died of it.
Yeah.
There's like he has lineage of it. He's quite an old guy.
Mm.
He
there's
only
no reason
stays
why he
well
shouldn't
done,
have the
which
lapses.
Is like crazy.
You know all the lapses he has?
Did you see
those things? Like this, you know, it's not like it's not documented.
Yeah.
You see some interviews where a question is asked and it's just like, wow!
No.
Like, holy. And it's not a few. It's like, you know, quite a few. So there's no reason to think he's, of course, he's like losing
The press conference with the Romanian president that was on last week sometime, and where he basically is talking about Romania and the partnership with Romania. And he goes, in the middle of this, he goes, and I got shown a chart about Romania.
Wow.
And it's like, this is definitely the first time, because there's no Trump Hotel in Romania, I don't think. So this is the first time he's ever paid attention to Romania. And no president before him would ever go, maybe Bush Jr., would go, I just saw a chart about your country.
Bush
would have.
Did you get that from the session, or from the Comey sessions as well, where it was like they were trying to explain to the president, or describe the president, well, he's new.
Yeah.
You know, he's not used to it.
Wow.
You know, it's like
he doesn't know the
it's
protocols.
Like trying to explain, like like basically say he's a toddler. He's not used to. Don't give him sharp objects. Don't if you give him a mark. No. If you give him a marker, he'll draw on your walls. He will.
Well, one of the leaks was that, you know, in his NSA briefings, they have learned that they put charts, pictures, one page, and they put his name in it as much as possible, because if he sees his own name,
he'll keep going.
He pays more attention.
Wow.
So Trump went to the Middle East.
But
Trump Palestine.
We were talking about this, and you were talking about sort of cultures and people you can talk to. You're saying you can't go to, like, you know, left wing. You can't say you're a Trump supporter. I was just in Florida last month.
Well, the Nazism of the left is also an issue.
It is.
Okay. Hey, we all agree with that.
But it's also, would we not agree that it's also this sort of culmination of technology these days and the new generation? And you guys see it in comedy where people are like, well, I'm offended by that. Yeah. And I'm, and there's sort of this indignity that people have that they like think that, that their opinion matters.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was caught when
people
you said
should
that,
care what they think.
When you said that Trump doesn't like or has learned to not like SNL, to me, like, that's you're right away. I just think I don't watch SNL either, but I also think, like, who cares what Trump thinks about, like, you know, entertainment or pop culture, right? Mm. To me, it's not for him to be entertained by. And maybe that's his, like, way of, you know, separating himself, because obviously there's ego involved. If he ignores it, his base ignores it, and then their numbers die.
That's what's
extraordinary. He's a business guy, right?
Yeah. That's what's extraordinary about him even acknowledging the fact that he's been made fun of.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing, you know, normally that politicians rise above it, or they, you know, they buy into it a little
bit. Imagine he's got that much time in his head to deal with individuals of a 320 million human nation. It's madness.
It's
terrifying.
I would say, I mean, even, I know a lot of people have been like, Mike Pence is just as reprehensible, but, you know, when he becomes president, which I think he will, sooner than before 4 years.
Wow.
As the bullet enters, or how do they?
Trump will declare that America is
back
great,
to the left.
That the wall is built, and he will walk away. He will walk away. The deal is done. He's walked away from almost everything else in his life.
Who's going to build the wall, by the way?
It's built.
Is it?
In his mind, it will be built.
Nobody said it would be this hard.
Did you see the proposals for the wall? The actual bids that they've done?
No.
One is that it's a plexiglass wall, and that it's a one-way mirror, essentially, that looks into Mexico, but Mexicans can't look into America.
Wow. How many crows? What would the
Mexicans can walk up to the wall and see themselves and see what they've done to be Mexican. So disgusting.
I was talking to some children, and they said the best way, you got kids, the best way to actually build it is Minecraft or Roblox.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
just get some children to build it on Minecraft. Put it up. Very easy. The square-shaped head people will do it.
There's the movie with Harrison Ford where the kids are the ones who are fighting the aliens, and they think it's a video game.
Oh,
the
Last Airbender?
No, that's not Last Airbender. It's a different terrible movie. But anyway, that's basically so make kids think they're doing it.
I only watch him in the news now. he's a very
when Harrison
nice man,
Ford,
I'm sure.
When he's crashing real planes, into golf courses.
Gliding planes on the golf course in Culver City. I'm watching everything he's doing.
Did you listen to the audio of that? Where he's like, what's that? What's that? What?
What's that? Chewie, get us out of here.
Entirely legal. And every American around it on their toes. Yeah. That's what's amazing about America.
It's good to let 73-year-old people fly. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
Absolutely. He can't drive anymore.
No.
But he can fly.
No, that's right. He can fly. So, I mean, obviously, as living here in Britain, and Trump, you know, there's talk that he wasn't going to come and was canceled. Then there was like, no, it's not canceled. He's going to come. So, do you think that Trump doesn't want to come because of all the people that might hate him here, or that the UK politics is such a shit show he doesn't want to step in because he doesn't know he's going to be here in 6 months?
Well, I think he's worried about that. I think he doesn't want to come here because he knows he's not going to get the same kind of manufactured response that he got in Saudi Arabia. Because somehow in Saudi Arabia, there were no protests against Trump in Saudi Arabia. People just were happy to see him.
Well, you mentioned that too, because traditionally a president, their first visit is to Mexico or Canada, and he did Saudi Arabia and Israel. Which is like but this is pretty bold.
Stepping
you know,
it up.
He went.
Bold.
He's like, I'm going to fix the Middle East. Screw Canada.
If we're trying to pick the lock,
fair enough.
Screw Canada. Mexico. Yeah, we don't have a good. Like Mexico would have not been a good visit.
He did try. I mean, he did call the guy from Mexico a couple times, and that just meant that. I mean, there's been no talk of that again.
Yeah, sending a Speedy Gonzales gif is not the same as calling someone.
Wow.
He's going to have another taco salad on Cinco de Mayo. It's fine.
No, it's May 5th. It's May 5th. He calls. We're not giving him credit for us. We invented
your Speedy Gonzales impression. Never again. How you doing?
I mean, in terms of...
I think it's 100% shit show.
Yeah.
That's why. I think there's nothing to visit. There's no, like, stable... Nobody has authority to govern. So there's no, like, rejoicing. There would be no welcoming with no open arms. Yeah. There's no real brinkmanship going on in the world right now that necessitates it like a summit militarily. So there's just, like, would he have to meet Corbyn? Probably. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's
I don't think
awkward,
Corbyn
and
would
that's,
meet him.
That's
not
uncomfortable, of course. No. And will anything be moved forward with what the situation with May and the DUP? So there's no one to meet, right? There's no parties to go to, and there's no dinners to have. And if you do, you have to be at a table of really, like, annoyed with each other, sad people. Like, it can't happen. Of course, it's the Trumpinator. He'd rather go to the Budokan or something. You know, go watch a
if he does
sumo
come,
event.
Sadiq could greet him. Sadiq Khan can greet him. The mayor of London.
They've got a good Twitter relationship.
Another good reason.
Sadiq can take him out for a spicy chicken masala and let Trump shit the color of his skin. That's what he needs to do.
Trump only drinks. He only drinks Diet Coke or Coke Diet Coke and has steak well cooked, well done.
Another reason: his brain is full of holes.
Yeah. No, he eats KFC. He eats KFC. You can't get a steak from KFC.
I had no idea he was an aspartame head as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
It's all fast food.
But, I mean, in terms of the politics here, I mean, sort of, obviously, it's a different thing in Britain where you've got the Tories and the Northern Irish forming a party.
They're not. It'll never happen.
I mean, never. Who thought? Yep. You go back 30 years and tell anyone in Britain, it's like...
Never.
Yeah. Well, I can't even use the swear words from the 70s, but it would be something like that.
Isn't it terrifying?
Yeah.
Isn't it? That they would even consider it.
Yeah.
That there's, you know, that there's not enough dignity to just see that, like, a debacle has happened and set it out to tender.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Like, show some dignity, because you're done. You're 100% done. Like, your authority has totally waned. Your own party will be getting rid of you if we don't.
Yep.
You have no, you know, credibility to talk to anybody about anything. So,
but I don't think she is going to, I can never predict it anymore, but she's not going to go anywhere necessarily, because no one wants it. They don't want Boris. He's the only other possible popular person. But who else in the Tory party is even semi-viable?
In the same way that she isn't.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But
there's no leader emerging.
No one else. She's just there. And she's waiting probably for somebody to replace her. Would love that. But, you know.
But they have somewhat sold the parliamentary politic mentality.
Yeah.
That really doesn't matter. And they're, you know, they're a team player and they're playing for the greater good, right? You know, we're all in this together, right? You know, like that's what's really been sold as the model.
Strong
whether
stable.
Or not you're being funded by offshore billionaires who aren't paying taxes in the country that you're running in, that has nothing to do with it. But, you know, the story, if it holds true, kind of plays out like, seems like a good football strategy, you know?
Yeah.
Like if everybody's working together, but nobody thinks the other's in charge, but they're on some sort of, you know, like that's, I hate to you know, sort of distill it to a pastiche, but it doesn't that kind of work in the way that's what they've sold people? It's horrible.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't anybody vote for them otherwise?
Well, right. I talked to my daughter about it, and I said that she needs extra votes. And my daughter looks, she's like, doesn't she have 101 puppies that will help her? I was like, damn!
Out of the park! It's going to the park!
And then, of course, she does, because she's Cruella de Vil. I was like, thank you.
I love it when they
down-talk
to you. That's perfect.
Yeah. Thanks for
mansplaining.
Thanks.
And you're an idiot.
Yeah, thanks for it. And you voted conservative, Dad.
You must be excited with what she's done. You're a conservative.
I'm not excited.
How she's dressed yet?
You know? Yeah, I'm not excited. The idea that Boris Johnson, who to me is just the biggest doofus, could ever...
Devious.
...think he could become the prime minister. Can you imagine that? Him, the fact that he could be the foreign leader and talk to, like...
He's become that.
Yeah.
Right? Like imagine being Bullingdon, right?
Yeah.
Imagine the confidence that comes with that. You got to think as well. He's probably got... 12 inches of dick. You figure? Like to act like that even
just wrapped underneath
time,
that
like,
big mop of hair.
Just, even when he's not looking, just
he's got enough money. He's got enough money. It's 6 inches of dick.
He's
and
not
then he's got enough money that the extra six doesn't matter.
It, at all. He never needs it. But he knows he has it.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. He's got it in reserve. He feels like he has it in reserve all the time. He's just one of those like people. Why, you know, is he allowed to be the buffoon that he is in serious politic?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's what
he is an example of the 1% control. I mean,
but he's
you finally
you're bringing me around when I think about the fact that Boris has been able to succeed at life. All right, you're right. You're right on it.
But he works in London where he's like, he's the sort of foppish conservative that's running the city, bringing the money in, keeping the city stable.
Yeah.
And he still
can
ride a bicycle. Yeah. And as a mayor of London, you know, there was that whole story that he saw a fight and he got off his bicycle and saved somebody. You know, in London, he works. But on a national level, you sort of go, especially as a foreign leader, like him going to deal with people and talk to people. And he's just made so many guffaws and goofs that you sort of go, what the hell? You can't have this guy. And to think that he could be a leader.
But they can't. Because they're already doing it.
But then
that's
it comes down to
they're insane.
It.
That's why they can't be in charge of the world, Wade.
No.
Right? Like that, what you just said is what my friend in Toronto told me. Just like, okay, like the Americans are nuts. They're nuts, but they're totally the best. Who else are you going to have? Like the Brits are off their tits, right? Like you must appreciate, I don't know what you think of as an American living over here, but the idea like just that the class system. You have a class that it's there, you know, people know about it. You know, you have to take that on board. And also the, you know, the royalty thing. It may be figurehead stuff. It may be, you know, it's only pageantry. But like, you know, people are living better because they were born different. And that's a really, like, for Americans, you can't wrap your head around it. Yeah, and yeah. I really admire that.
We do have a class system in America, but
you
it's
different. You had a second Bush.
But it's very, but it's very different. And it's much.
A second Clinton.
And a Clinton. Yeah, yeah. Clinton dynasty.
It's much, yeah, it is much subtler. I mean, you can't. As much here, I mean, you have some accentism in the U.S., but in here, you hear somebody's accent and you know immediately, you know, where that person is and how far they can go in life when you hear their accent in this country most of the time.
Yeah,
you know, that's, you know, and all those
things. Very rarely not.
Yeah, that definitely is an impact here. But
I think sometimes that's why I like people, a lot of Americans, I spend a decent amount of time there and enjoy it to the degree, but that sense that, like, Americans who don't know stuff about England, because a lot of Americans don't know stuff about a lot of stuff, right? Yeah. So if they're not really thinking about
we don't need to because it's a big country.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can spend a lot of time. I mean, that's my defense.
Your own stuff, you know, maybe a lot about Louisiana or whatever's going on over there.
It's a big place.
But the idea that, like, that there's also the crown to do with the Brits. You know, just the, like, the pastiche or the, you know, the sort of cliche of what you think of the Brits if you don't know much about them. That's why a lot of Americans just wouldn't even consider the UK different than, like a bigger Portugal, or don't they talk English funny or something? It's so abstract to you guys to even imagine. Yeah.
We have a family member, to be fair, she lives in Alaska, but she asked if we have refrigerators here.
Exactly.
In Alaska, like, she asked that.
She lives in Alaska, and she asked if in Britain we have a refrigerator.
She didn't dramatically nothing.
She didn't ask if your fridge was running, though. It wasn't one of those things.
No,
This kills in Alaska.
Dad's paying for this one.
Bring it.
But to be fair, in America, all Americans have to do is say USA, USA, and say it a third time, and Beetle disappears. So
the flags. I mean, the flagage. Even in left wing New York, the number of flags you see when you're just driving down the road is just
terrifying.
It's just I don't know. Well, no, I think I figured it out because Americans are worried they're going to step outside their house and they're going to be like, "Where am I? I might be in Canada." It's fine. So I'm terrified of Canada.
Everything's still made in China, though, right? So you guys are safe.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you're all good. You're all good with that.
To flip that a little bit, I think people here wonder why we just don't immediately impeach Trump. Is again, he's the head of state. Not the head of government, where you can topple a prime minister fairly easily when they lose the confidence of their party and their government.
A lot
but
of
you
pillars
can't,
in government.
The queen is still there. Yeah. She's the head of state, right? She's been there since 1852, I think is when her reign began.
She's not that old.
And she's your
she's not that old. She looks it.
Well, when you're a lizard person, it's easy.
Yeah, she's a gambler. She's got the horse race coming up this weekend.
She's your head of state still, isn't she, too?
She's the largest landowner in Canada.
But that's the thing. When you topple a president, you're not toppling the government. You're toppling the figurehead that represents the nation. And that's a big deal. Even if it's Trump, that's why it takes. That's why it's. Yeah, it would be astounding if it
happens. He's a product of your system.
Yeah, oh,
and
yeah.
It's like a celebration of your system. That's why it has that kind of love it or hate it thing to him. And I also like to maybe the world's credit. I don't have any faith in your ability to teamwork. America. I believe that's why what we're watching is happening. It's just like a big, you know, you're talking about release the rats. That's all that's going on. It's just rats on rats on rats. And I have faith in actual Americans working in their bubbles.
Yeah.
Because you're amazing at working in your bubble. You're really, you know, wonderful to visit any city, anybody that's ever been to the States, you run into strangers, you know, they show you the right way.
They're
generally
nice. It's
on
very
the,
strange.
Yeah. I like to think of that often because, you know, people worry about like the Trump effect and what Trump has done across the board and all these influences that he's had, but he can't influence you.
No.
He hasn't influenced you or me or the thousands of people I've met in the States.
Some people have felt like this was one of our friends who's she's gay, and she said she and her friends have felt a change in tone from some people. And I think there's more hate crimes against minorities because Trump has allowed this level of just, you know, it's okay
to
say.
Right? You just pull out your own gun and shoot them in the face, right?
You are well armed for that. That's why you have the guns. But so I think in that sense.
At your peril.
You know, I've had some people challenge me on that when I was in the States, even on this trip. They're like, it has changed the tenor of the debate. Because when the president said, just like when Obama said, okay, I'm okay with gay marriage now, suddenly gay marriage, just the speed which it was accepted, when just, you know, it happened much faster. Because it's
influential.
This figure, this means something. I mean, we could have had, we would have had a president, a king in America if George Washington had wanted to be king. They wanted to make him king, and he didn't want it for some reason. Maybe he was looking at the king here at the time. He was nuts. And he said no to that. So that's the system we've developed, essentially.
You've also developed a great aspect of the system, too, which is the bounce back, which I think is a lot of the, you've got the billionaires, the other side of the billionaires, the Bill Gates, the Mark Zuckerbergs, the Canadian Elon Musk, where
the other government.
The other, no, I think it's just a lot of these very influential guys, the Buffett and the Warren Buffetts, were like, okay, we're worth more than all these guys, and we're donating 90% of our wealth. And in the result of Trump coming up, there's almost this backlash of these guys going, actually, we are now going to fight back. We are going to do what we have. It's our technology, our money. And that's sort of an inspiration to me that I'm really inspired by America, which makes me think America is so kick-ass. It's like, the billionaires are coming. It's like, because
America's dealing with it.
Yeah, and it's like, we'll fix it. You know, Bill Gates is like, I got a little bit of cash. I'm going to give all of it away. But they're investing it in such a way, and the technology, and you have Elon Musk, who, as Canadians, we couldn't support him, and he goes off to America. These guys are now starting to build all these different technology and opportunities as a result of which
financial,
I think,
financial influences on exactly their system.
And it's almost, in a way, I think that they feel it's almost like a guilt of having someone like that. You know, you're sort of like, you're responding by going, well, we're going to do something better because, you know,
there's
got this
evolution to that, for sure.
And I mean, it's always been the business, in a way, it's been the businesses that have led all. I mean, it was businesses that drove the British Empire, and the British government just sort of fell along and followed we'll say that we're running it, but it was all done based on the trading companies and the slave companies and all that did it. So now we're seeing that with
Canadians, we're trying to get tea, but there was 200,000 natives in our way, so we got rid of them. Here's your tea bag.
Well, British people have such a weird way of looking at their history that you can't I don't know, in America, you know, we are propagandized our history. Like, I was taught U.S.
you guys won every war, so you can't be that much under propaganda.
No, but it means that we have, plus our history is short, but I mean, we're you have to have state history in high school, and then you have to have U.S. history, and it's pounded into you, and it's only about 300 years to learn. I don't know if it's the same in Canada. Whereas here, I think, there's so much history to learn, and also there's this liberal guilt over the empire where, you know, they haven't come to terms with yet. So whether it's good or bad or whatever, but so they don't. I don't feel like Brits have that sense of history.
Really?
I don't think so. Not in that way. I think they sort of,
it's more of there's sometimes more of an arrogant sense of history. It's like, we conquered the world and we lost it. But we did conquer it. And we still have a lot.
But if they're guarding me, it's like, I'm so sorry we conquered the world and we apologize.
I find the confidence astounding. And I do run into it a lot. And I ask the question directly a lot that, like, you know, as me, if you ask, you know, again, Wade and I on the sort of fringes with Canadian history, knowing abundantly about English, you know, foreign companies, aside from the East India Company, the idea that, you know, we're that there's this confidence towards Russia, right? That, like, Canadians have kind of a, you know, you see them in black and white photos and they sort of have the same jacket on and they look like they're doing the same stuff. And then your countries play them in hockey together sort of continually. And then there's, like, a mutual, like, fear, kind of, but not even fear, because, like, Canadians, I don't know anybody who feared the Russians, but, like, total respect for sure. Like, just in terms of, like, you know, tinkering and athleticism and the idea that, like, I run into a lot Brits who are just, like, fighting like it's the 1700s, right? Like, they just kind of, like, you know, Russia better watch itself. It's like, what are you, nuts? It's Russia. Are you kidding? Like, they could easily win against anybody. Like, they're really quite capable things, and they're practically minded, and they're also nuclear armed. So why do we have to keep inflaming tensions with these people?
Well, they also don't pretend to try and be democratic. Whether you think we are democratic or not, Russia doesn't even try and pretend. They're like,
I try to stage a demonstration against Putin. See how that goes.
Yeah. I mean, so, I mean, where we have to, you know, well, whether you think we are democratic or pretending to.
Right? Yeah. That's a crazy thing. That's maybe that's why people hate Russian people, because they know that the system, in fact, is floated on their authorization. But you know, I've been there only the once, but they were, like, the people I spoke to were clear that the one thing I really loved about them is that they know our stuff. They know our dirty, you know, laundry, but they also know theirs.
Yeah.
You know, you give it to the Russians sometimes. They hacked into iPhones like 20 years ago. When was it? 2004, when, you know, they were, like, in with every platform. And that's, you know, they're just Russians. They're like, they know the system's not going to help them at all, and they're out there, you know, informing themselves. So they are also informed that, like, Putin's darking them in the ass, and they know it, like, you know, killing oligarchs left, right, and center, and they're just like, it's Russia, don't, you know, don't piss off.
Well, the other thing I respect about the Russians is you know, a lot of times in our culture, Western culture, we buy new things, always buy stuff, whereas you go to Russia, you don't have the money, they fix everything. And so if you ever have the end of the world or, like, a solar flare or something like that, they will rebuild their own crap. Like, they will be able to survive. If it's like end of days, the Russians will be like, oh, I kill zombie, I build something good. Hey, here we go, zombie soup. You know, it's like, hey, dance, I make vodka, the zombie brain.
What you need to do is just bring everybody in the world, have everybody get a Bed Bath & Beyond. You ever been to Bed Bath & Beyond?
No.
It is a store that has everything.
Your daughter
it
has except the Beyond.
It has like every knickknack, oddball, weird gadget thing that you would ever want or not want. Every bathing thing, it is beyond.
I mean, how close
you,
is
you
one?
Just you can well the United the U.S. Okay, they don't have them here. Yeah America. Yeah. I mean, but I mean, if you just gave those to everybody, and you don't fix things. You throw them away and buy new ones. Buy three new ones, and it's just like a stepladder. That's a stepladder and a toilet and an air conditioner, and all in one.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's nice to consume lots of plastic novelty things that destroy our oceans. That's what I like. I want something that leaves a huge environmental impact that I just sort of had and go, I forgot that was there.
Doesn't cost more than $4.
Exactly.
Eric, what you said, I do, like, it's another thing I do love about America, just, like, making deals and getting stuff, and it's always available, and it ships right away.
And
polite and horrible, you know, horribly polite.
Like, I know, because we talk about food. I mean, obviously, one of the big things when I moved to Britain, the food was like, a loaf of bread goes bad in a couple days. What's up with that?
Yeah.
But how does it go green?
Is there food in your food?
Is there the milk that we got in the States? It was good for a month and a half. How is that possible?
In the sun! Sitting in the sun!
It actually becomes better.
It's put in the shed!
At the same time, when I go back to America, I'm so excited for the food.
Yeah.
Because it's
of
so
course,
good.
Of course,
it's
of course, of course.
And it's so big. But it's like big heapings and prawns.
And some
and
of it's really yummy!
Yeah!
I hate it.
And
you're consuming,
you're like,
they're good.
Hey, you know what? Maybe there's a dead baby in here. I don't care. I'm eating it. I don't care what it is.
Anybody listening in America, when you come to the UK, bring your own Cheetos. There's no Cheetos here. There's no Fritos here.
Bring your own steaks.
Bring your own food.
Yeah, or go to Costco here.
Yeah.
So we're going to wind this up. It's been a good chat, but let's talk about what we see the future. I guess what we see in the future in the Trump. We're only 5 months in.
Mushroom cloud.
It's 5 months in. So what do we say? Like, do you think he is, one, going to get impeached? Do you think he could get reelected? Or sometimes, as we know, that sometimes a global event, like a tragedy, emboldens a leader to last forever. It takes one war, and he could be there for 8 years, you know? So
easy.
How do we see it going? I'll start with you, Eric. You're American. How do you see the future? Crystal ball, what's going on?
I don't know anymore. I didn't think Brexit would happen. I didn't think Trump would happen. I didn't think I would make it here this morning. I have no idea. I mean, I said already, I do think he's going to get fed up. It's going to get too intense at some stage, and he's just going to say he's achieved everything. The system is rigged, and he's going to walk away and take his millions and billions and go away. I mean, at the moment, I think he has alienated enough people that I don't think, you know, if the election were held today, I don't think he would win again. But they do have to find somebody more dynamic and capable of having a decent message than Hillary, because Hillary was a big problem, not for the, you know, that she was just as bad and corrupt. I'm not quite that far. She was a terrible messenger who never had a message, and you can't win. You can't win like that. America's about hope. It's about we go for the more likable person every time. And Trump was more likable. You wouldn't want to leave him alone with your daughter. But he was more likable than Hillary.
Or his daughter.
Well, she seems to like it. So she likes his money. So I don't know where we end up.
Craig?
I feel exactly. Well, you led into it in a way that I thought that all applied to the latter stages of Obama in terms of the potential of just something knocking over globally and then another term being, you know, continued on, like we're in an unstable place. But can I, again, before I can so easily get depressive because I don't see good news on the horizon, but I always saw it as the only thing that I fear is an American Civil War. That's just because of the divisions within that culture. It's the only real aspect of it other than mistakes in nuclear processing, or, you know, what's going on in Fukushima being like, you know, 3 or 4 or 5, or I think they said the last, so one of the most hideous things I heard recently, that 6 or 7 conventional nuclear facilities in South Korea are within ordnance range of North Korea. Like, definitely will be, for sure. Without a doubt, you'll be dealing with like a half dozen Fukushimas right away, like before anything else happens, before people start swimming to Japan or anything. Hey, they hit a carrier or whatever else. Dirk and Dirk. America, whatever else happens, like, that will be, like, the most hideous thing on planet Earth. So, to me, that's, like, probably our future on some level, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's North Korea, you know.
Syria.
Syria, yeah, where we just keep, I always get thrown, I used to get thrown because it's an, I guess it was an American neocon thing with Obama, where they just keep doubling down. Like I mentioned earlier on in the thing, you know, with talking about arming jihadis, right? Like when John McCain let out that, like, those are our guys. When that was, and that was like one of the things, I used to be a conspiracy theorist. I talked to people, you know, yeah, well, but we're behind these guys. Like, I don't know, prove that. Maybe a rifle fell off a truck somewhere. But then suddenly, like, you know, your official guys are like, yeah, those are our people. The guys who are chopping up people's heads and cutting up people's hearts and all that kind of stuff and are like, you know, going to madrasas. Those are our guys? Sorry for the good news? And then you just think that somebody at some point, like, you know, in the States is just going to go, hey, like, that's immoral or we can't do that. Or let's start to, like, you know, back out of this slowly, you know. Okay, everybody, nobody move, right? We're gonna go on our way, you're gonna go on your way, and, like, we don't talk again, right? But that never happens. They just keep, like, going to the next huge stage, like at the right away most recently when Trump, who said everything to get elected about staying out of the Middle East, brought boots on the ground to Syria. Like, right away, right? Like, that's what's nuts about you. Motherfucker. You know, like, that's why people don't trust Americans, because they're mental. They're off the charts mental. They lie and they lie and they lie, and then they do dramatically inflammatory things. All that crap about, you know, keeping the Russians out of airspace. You know, we're going to cut off the airspace. We get a no-fly zone and all that stuff. It's like, the Russians weren't letting you talk to each other at that point. You couldn't, like, radio each other. Your walkie-talkies on the ground didn't work, because Russia had technology that you didn't even know about until you tried to fly past one of their carriers in the Black Sea and couldn't email your mom. Like, why is all this talking? Who are you going to tell people what they're going to do? It's like, you're not allowed to be there. And, of course, Trump shows up, and now it's just like Americans and Russians in deconfliction reports that is terrifying the whole planet. Because if somebody takes out somebody else's stuff, it's going, like, big style with China, Iran, and everyone piling in. So go to America, drink Starbucks.
Power out, lights out. But thank you, gentlemen.
That is a message of hope.
Yes, yeah, it is.
I think so. That's how I think it's going
to
end.
I'm going to play that to my daughter when I tuck her into bed tonight.
Does he have puppies?
He doesn't know what to do, does he?
Thanks a lot for tuning in, guys. Another episode of Scrotus POTUS. Thanks a lot to Craig Campbell, Eric McElroy. Guys, we'll have you guys back again for another episode. Stay tuned for another one next time.